The scripture today is taken from Book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is an hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be no one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father have me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Thank you, Al. Gracious Father, we ask that the words that have been given are the words that are received, and that you would be the one that speaks. Simply remove me from your way and let you be the one that transforms our lives. May we have ears to hear, lives to live, and may we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you only have 31 more days. In 31 more days, we go to the polls. In 31 more days, on November 2nd, we're going to gather in churches and in fire halls. We're going to gather in schools and wherever it is that the various precincts have found that they want to go, and they want to, at that place, have the population cast their vote. And we will vote for those who will be our shepherds. We will vote if it's going to be Rick Snyder or Virge Bonero. We will vote for Jocelyn Benson or Ruth Johnson for Secretary of State. We're going to decide if it's David Layton or Bill Shewitt for Attorney General. And then we're going to decide who we want from the 4th, 2nd District and who we want from the 4th District to lead us in terms of the United States Congress. Is it going to be, if you're in District number 2, Dave Camp or Jerry Campbell? Or do we want someone from District 4, or no way, that's Dave Camp and Jerry Campbell are District 4. It is Bill Huizenga or Fred Johnson if you live in District 2. You'll notice that I didn't say which one was a Democrat, which one was a Republican. You have to go find out. I know. Do you? And you're going to make that decision. And millions of dollars are being spent on this campaign to make sure that you know who is the right person to lead us. We're going to hear commercial after commercial after commercial until we are tired of commercials to tell us who is the right one we ought to vote for, trying to convince us who is the right person for our shepherding, and that this is all about who is it that's going to take care of us. Who are we going to choose within the limits of the position to protect us, to lead us, to feed us, to shelter us? And if you listen to the rhetoric of this campaign, this election is critical. It is essential. It will transform the way our entire nation is going to function. If we vote wrong, it will be disastrous. So we have to vote right. The problem is we don't know which way is right. Well, we think we do, but we're not always sure. And we have to determine. With all the ads that are now out there are going to increase, there is no question that we know their voice. There is no question that we're able to pick out what their voice are. Here's the question: do they know our voice? There is no question we get to know who they are within the limits of their own spin. We're going to find out certain things about Virge Bonero that he doesn't want us to know. We're going to find out certain things about Rick Snyder that he doesn't want us to know. But they're going to find out a whole lot more that they do want to know. But do we really know them? But more importantly, do they know us? Do they know us? Do they know what we need? Do they know what we're going through? Do they know what we're facing? And here's another question. Are they willing to sacrifice for us? What are they willing to give up for our behalf? These people who want to be our shepherds, these people who want to lead us, what are they willing to sacrifice for us? What are they willing to do? I'm afraid it's not a question that they have an answer for. Politics is not always about sacrifice. Now I believe that politicians and politics are necessary. We could not function as a city. We couldn't function as a township. We couldn't function as a state or a county or a nation if we didn't have some political process. It is simply how we manage ourselves and the resources. You have to have them. It's just how well we do with what we have to have. But let me explain something. I don't believe ever that a politician or politics are the avenue of salvation. My vote on November 2nd will not redeem, will not save. It may not do anything. For what everyone believes and what everyone thinks, I don't believe that November 2nd is the most important day of the world. Now, I hope we vote. I think we should vote. It's our responsibility as citizens to vote. But I've never seen a politician that is the answer to my life. Have you? In fact, they're a little afraid that there's not going to be a high turnout. Even if we were voting for president, if it was 2012, and we were on that day, let's say November 5th or November 6th, voting for the presidency of the United States, I don't know of any president who I want to pin my salvation hopes to. They are not my shepherd. They are not my shepherd. I have found salvation in only one person and only one name. His name is Jesus. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the door through which I must enter. And he is my shepherd. He is called the good shepherd, which means he is the ideal, the model, the beautiful shepherd. And he is my hope. Now, for most of us, the idea of shepherding is a word we can use, especially in the church. We use that word all the time. In fact, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is one that we've memorized. Did anybody memorize that as a child? Yeah. Do we make kids memorize anything anymore? Logan, before Sunday, next Sunday, I want you to know. Huh? Never mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He takes me to green pastures. He restores my soul. We do that. The closest thing that you and I ever get to shepherd is taking care of a dog. You know, right now we have a dog in our house, Mickey. By the way, where is Mickey in the bedroom, or does he have free range of the house? Mickey, he's 13 or 14? 13. He's kind of getting a little arthritic. He doesn't move quite with his spry, nimble attitude. That's as close as I've ever been to a shepherd. In our household, we have had the following pets. We have had fish. We have had a turtle with an attitude, and I think that's it. We haven't even had a gerbil. We've not had a hamster. We have been pet-free. Now, I know some of you like cats. I have no idea why, but you do. My opinion is you don't take care of a cat, you simply live with a cat. It happens to coexist with you in your house. It says, feed me, take care of my box, and outside of that, go away. Dogs are a little bit more high maintenance. They need attention, they need affection, they need love, they need all kinds of things. But really, they're not like sheep. Dogs are fairly smart. Most of us don't have a lot of, maybe you've had a stupid animal in your house before, but sheep really are, for lack of a better term, stupid. They are. They're dumb animals. They're high maintenance animals. In the days of Jesus, wherever the shepherds were always out on the hinterland. They were always on the edge, wherever it was, and they were always up in the hills and the crags. And sheep, if you left them their own desires, they'll walk right into a problem. If they're skittish, they'll follow a trail. They don't really know where the trail goes. And oftentimes in the area that Jesus lived in, if you were up in the hills or the crags, you could come to a trail and it would end at a cliff. And the sheep would just keep going. Or they'd end up getting in a thicket, and they would try and get out by pushing farther into the thicket, and they would get stuck, and they would starve themselves to death. Where Jesus lived, it was rocky. There was not a lot of area that's going to absorb the moisture. So what happens is that when it rains, and it rained hard, you would have something called a flash flood. And the sheep would be down in the valley in the low areas, what they would call wadis, which is a dry stream bed, and they would be having a nice time minding their own business. And next thing you know, a wall of water would come and whoosh, send them all away. They needed somebody who understood and knew the territory. They needed somebody who could protect them from themselves. They needed somebody who knew where fresh water was, who knew where there was grass, because when you think about green pastures, you and I think of our lawns. When David thinks of green pastures, he's thinking of a dry, rocky area with little tufts here and there. You see, the area around Bethlehem, up in the high altitude, is arid. The area around where David was a shepherd and wrote these words, grass was not plentiful. It came in here, there, here, there, here, there, here, there. And you had to know as a shepherd where to lead the sheep, because if you drove the sheep, they go off a cliff, they get it. It was no end of trouble. You had to lead them. And you had to know where to go. You had to protect them. Because in those days and in that area, I don't know, the most dangerous thing around Cotswold Court where I live, I think I've seen a skunk. I may have seen a raccoon. And I think our neighbors have 6 dogs. But beyond, yeah, seriously. Have you seen a fox or a cougar or a lion or a bear in our neighborhood? No. And there are no snakes in Michigan, right? I don't care what the truth is, there are no snakes in Michigan for the benefit of my bride. She does not like them. If you're a shepherd, you could run into a wolf. You could run into a bear. You could run into a lion. If you were a shepherd, you ran into danger. You had to put yourself between the danger and the sheep. And Jesus said, I am the ideal shepherd. I'm the beautiful shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the name for God. Remember that? Yahweh in the Old Testament. I am the eternal one. I am the living one. I am the self-sustaining one. I am, Jesus said, the good shepherd. The Father was described as a shepherd, and Jesus is just carrying on the work. And he's the one that brings us. The qualifications that he is the good shepherd is that he lays down his life for his sheep. This is kind of a different image. In other place is a sacrificial death. In no other place in the Bible is the sacrificial death of a shepherd ever indicated. In no other place in the Bible is the death of the shepherd something that is articulated as being a positive or being good. In fact, he sacrifices himself for the sheep. And almost, it's amazing that he does this, because you think about that, it's a disaster for the sheep. But Jesus said, by my sacrifice, the sheep will live. This is the extent he has cared for the sheep. And he said, the hired man, he could care less about the sheep. They don't belong to him. The hired man simply works for the day's wage. The servant is a day laborer. He has little or any connection for the sheep. And so when he sees a wolf coming, he thinks to himself, denarii wolf. That's not even a contest. I'm not going to put myself out for the sheep. Can I tell you something? And this is not to disparage those who are running for office. Let me explain. Those are hired people. The president of the United States is a hired help. The governor is a hired help. We don't belong to the president, to which a lot of you are thinking, right on. We don't belong to the governor. We don't belong to the mayor. We don't belong to the county supervisors. We don't belong to them. They are hired to manage. They are the hired hand. They are the hired hand. So when he sees a wolf coming, not an uncommon experience, he says to himself, no, not for a denarii, although the law and the interpretation of the law said that he was to protect himself from a single wolf, although two wolves was an unavoidable accident and he could take off. So he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Not worth it? Not at all. I'm not going to put myself out for this, out for what I'm getting paid. I'm going to take off. And the wolf seizes the sheep and scatters them, which again is a disaster because when the little woolly one runs, he can run right off the edge of a cliff. And you would think, how dumb is he? Have you ever run into somebody in your world that just ran right off the end of a cliff? How many of you have run off the end of a cliff? How many of you in your life think to yourself, things were going fine, then all of a sudden, poof, I don't know where it came from? Yeah. The hired man. The man runs away because he is a hired man. He cares nothing for the sheep. There is no vested interest. Who has vested interest in you? Who lays down his life for you? Who will face danger to protect you? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the only one. We just had communion. We just celebrated the fact that our Lord died and he rose again from the dead. We celebrated the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. He has already proved to us that he is the ideal and the perfect shepherd. He has a vested interest in us. And he says an interesting thing. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I understand the idea that I know Jesus. I mean, we have the Gospels. We have the lesson. He has taught us. He has given us his words. He's shown us his actions. He has shown us who he is. The miraculous thing is that he knows me. And he knows you. He really knows you. He really knows you. How many of you know who you're going to vote for right now on November 2nd? Oh, don't be embarrassed. November 2nd. How well do you know that candidate? How well do you know Mr. Bernero? And how well do you know Mr. Snyder? How would you like to know, if you could follow him around for 24 hours a day for 2 weeks, would you still vote for him at the end of the 2 weeks? I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. He knows me not from following me for 2 weeks. He knows me from following for over 55 years. He knows me. I know him. He knows me. There is a level of knowledge and intimacy that I experience with no one else than Jesus Christ. He says it's on par with the fact that I know my Father and my Father knows me. That's the level of knowledge that we have in Jesus. Not only does he lay down his life for us, but we also know him and he knows us to an extent that almost defies imagination. He knows you. He knows what you have done. He knows those thoughts that you harbor. He knows those preferences. He knows those decisions. He knows the fears. He knows your frustrations. He knows all of the things that you want public and the things you wish would never see the light of day. He knows every one of them. And he lays his life down for you. He lays his life down for you. He dies for you voluntarily. No one took it from him. By his choice, he laid his life down for you. In my household, we had a dog. His name was Pepper. He was one of those like small poodles, not the miniature ones, but kind of the one up from there. Crabby dog. Ill-tempered. Maybe my brother and I didn't help, but an ill-tempered dog. Why do you nod your head? I mean, if he had food, 3 feet buffer. Don't go near him. He just, you know, he wasn't interested. He just was, I mean, Pepper was just ill-tempered animal. Kind of an aggravating dog. Have you ever had an aggravating pet? And you think to yourself, would I lay down my life for this dog? Mm-mm. Would I lay my down life my down for a cat? No. For a turtle. How many would die for a gerbil? I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to have a horse. I don't have a place for a horse. Don't even know what you feed a horse. You know? Python? No, I'm not going to have a python. You think to yourself, Jesus died for a sheep. Can you imagine having a sheep in your house? I mean, the thing runs into a building. I'm a sheep. How dumb is this thing? Stinks, smelly, can't take care of itself, constantly in trouble. What a headache. Jesus never looks at us and says, wow, constantly in trouble, stinks, can't take care of himself. He says, I love you. You're worth every bit of trouble. You're worth every problem. He said, I have other sheep that are out in this sheep pen. And you're going, what could that possibly be? Well, back in Jesus' days, it was the Gentiles. Inconceivable to a Jew that God would even want a Gentile in his kingdom. What do you want them for? Smelly, ill-mannered, can't take care of himself, dumb as a box of rocks. Who do you know in your world that doesn't belong to Jesus? You know, we had a friend of friends Sunday. We said, look, all we want you to do is just invite somebody. All we want you to do is invite somebody who doesn't go to church, which in this area makes up the vast majority of people. Remember, about 18% of the people go to church, which means 82% don't. Yeah, I got to tell you, there's 60,000 people in this area that don't go to church. Surely we ran into one of them. All you got to do is say, here, I'd like you to come to church. Oh, man. You don't know what they're like. You know, they don't know what they can't take care of themselves. They're smelly. They're always in trouble. And Jesus said, yeah, I'm kind of familiar with that. Kind of what you were like. You see, there are other sheep who are not in their sheep pen. And I'm going to bring them in also, but they'll never listen. Yeah, they will. They'll listen to my voice. You'd be surprised how many people simply want to hear. Simply want to hear. Part of the reason that we're afraid to say anything is we don't want to be thought of as being religious nutcase. You know, if I lift up Jesus Christ, they're going to think I'm some kind of a religious zealot. Yeah, well, that's kind of laying down your life, isn't it? All they'll want to do is they want to hear that someone loves them, someone cares about them, someone will forgive them, and someone wants them. Someone wants them. Do you remember the day you proposed? Look at you smiling. Look at you. You didn't propose, he did. You just said yes. You remember the day? Well, I don't want to hear the whole story. I just want to, you know. Apparently you were quite impressive, Pete. Way to go. Could have gone all day without signing that one, Pete. You know one of the great things that happens on that day? Two things. Wow. The one who hears the proposal says, wow, somebody wants me. The one who hears the yes is, wow, somebody wants me. Because in the back of our mind, we always find that hard to believe. Somebody would actually say yes. Same thing with saying about Jesus. A lot of people that we run across in can't imagine that the God of the universe, who creates all that there is, who's all powerful, all good, actually wants them in his life. And that's why it's good news. And they say yes. And there'll be one flock and one shepherd. You know, the reason that God is so enamored with Jesus Christ is that he is obedient. He takes down his life in order to take it up again. He died in order that he might be raised again. God said, would you go? And Jesus said, yes. Romans 5:8, God loved the world so much that he gave his one, you know, he demonstrates his love for this. He gives us his son. Christ died for our sins. While we were still sinners, Christ died. John 3:16, God gave his son. Jesus said, yes. He said, yes. Nobody takes it. I did it on my own accord. And I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. He has the power through God Almighty to endure and to overcome. You see, in reality, the passion, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ is all one act. It's one event. You can't separate it out. It all comes together. And Jesus has the authority to execute the event. And he did it on behalf of his Father. He did it out of the Father's will. Going back to the idea is, who do you want to shepherd you? By the way, we have to be shepherded. For as independent as you and I think we are, for as stubborn as we are at times, for somehow believing that we're the masters of our own fate, we are high-maintenance creatures. We need people watching us. We need people taking care of us. We need people cleaning up after us. So who do you want doing that? I only want one. I want his name to be Jesus. I want his name to be Jesus. Yeah, I don't know who's going to win on November 2nd. And I do care. I think we have to be responsible for our votes and vote for the people that we believe will do the very best job. Not just in the government, not just the governor's job, but also not just in the national, but I think we need to do it down to the township level. We want those who are going to do the good job, but never, ever forget, they are not our shepherds. I only have one. They are not our saviors. I only have one. They are not our hope. I only have one. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is the ideal, model, perfect, beautiful. He is the good shepherd. Amen.